The Bible said over there in Psalms 22, 11 and 15, he said, many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. So they gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted. We're talking about the man that had such great victories in his life. He said, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up. Like a potsherd, my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and thou hast brought me to the dust of death. We find here in the Bible that David no doubt is talking about the lowest time of his life. David's going through a hard time, a difficult time. David's going through a hardship, if you would. And the Bible says he felt like he was going to be devoured or destroyed by strong bulls of Bashan, which is talking about fierce, violent, savagest men, which were sent, no doubt, by Satan himself to try and destroy him. Much of David's fight and struggle, young people, listen, was during his years of being a young man. David was a man after God's own heart. But David still made some very foolish decisions in his life, and he even committed the awful sin of adultery. That's why David could say, my strength is dried up. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. David could think back of the time when Saul tried to destroy him, watching every move that he made, waiting for him to mess up. David remembered when Ahithophel wanted him dead because he messed up with his own granddaughter, Bathsheba. And David also remembered when his own son even tried to kill him. David felt like he was about to be trampled. David felt like he was about to be tore apart. David felt like he was going to be trampled because of the strong bulls that wanted to devour him. Can I say to you, young people, we know that David ran from Saul for several years. We know that David made some very foolish decisions. We know that David made some very wrong judgments. We know that David calls judgment on God's people and even on his own family. We know that David committed the awful sin of adultery. But can I say to young people, we also know that David was the greatest king that had ever walked the face of this earth. And I ask you a question, why? How in the world could somebody that does such great things, after all the trouble that they've been in, after all the things that he's messed up on. How in the world can he do such great things? Can I say to you, friend, the reason is it's because he kept on getting back up for God and kept on doing right. Even though he messed up, even though he was hurt, even though he committed the awful sin. Can I say to you, some of you young people think you have a miserable life. Some of you think you've messed up. Some of you remember the good times, but some of you also remember the bad times. Some of you say, preacher, you don't understand what I've done. I've messed up in life. I've done some things I wish I'd have never done. Some of you girls have made some decisions and you failed God. You failed your parents. Some of you young men have failed your parents, your preacher, and God. And teenagers are extremely hard on themselves. But can I say to you about David? He was mocked when he was young. He had javelins and arrows hurled at him. He had a king turn his back on him. He had men secretly spy on him and tell on him. David had spent sleepless nights. We're talking about a teenage boy here. He spent sleepless nights in caves and in pits and in the woods. He had his own men wanting to stone him. David had his family stole from him and his house destroyed by the enemy. He had times of hunger and thirst and weariness of the flesh. David also had a baby that even died, and he had many men that wanted him dead. But can I say to you, young people, listen to me. He kept on going for God. He just kept on going for God. And I want to preach tonight on the toughest thing on earth. That word tough means stiff. It means not flexible. Tough means yielding to force without breaking. It means strong. It means not easily broken. It means able to endure hardship. Did you hear me? Able to endure hardship. In other words, letting force and the hardship come, because they will come. Young people, hardships will come. Difficulty will come. Again, I say to you, we don't run from it. We don't hide from it. We don't act like it's not there. And we don't yield to, the Bible says we yield to them. The Bible teaches us that we let them come because we are to endure it, friend. It teaches us we ought to stand strong with the help of God. In other words, you're letting the force come. You see the trouble come. You see the heartache coming. It's not time to run, teenager. It's time to stand up for God and be tough, amen, even when you don't feel like it. That's what David did. David, that's why he was one of the greatest kings the greatest king ever walked to the face of this earth. Let me say to you, listen. It's not if you've fallen, it's when you've fallen. The toughest thing on earth is to get up when you've fallen. Can I say something to you encouraging? You will mess up. Sooner or later, you will do something you wish you'd have never done. But when you do, the toughest thing you can do is get up. Let me say to you, young person, you got to get up. You got to quit thinking you're a failure and quit thinking you're a nobody. You got to quit thinking it's useless and quit thinking that you're dirty and nobody will ever want you. You got to quit thinking that you've messed up on God and he'll never use you. You got to quit lying to yourself and quit listening to the lie of the devil. Because if he can keep you down, he'll keep you down. He can keep you from serving God, he'll do it. He'll come to you and say, you old sorry outfit, you messed up on God. You should have never done that. God's done with you. The people of God are done with you. No, they're not, friend, and no, God ain't either. Amen. I say to you, you got to get up and you got to go on. As long as there's a God in heaven, you can continue to go on for God. Everybody gets thrown in life. Everybody fails or falls at something in life. Everybody falls flat on their face sooner or later, amen. Can I say to you, Satan wants to throw you. He wants to trample you. He wants to devour you. He wants to destroy you, amen. And when you mess up, you don't just lay in the dirt and say it's no use. You don't just lay in sin and say, well, I tried. You don't just quit because you sinned against God or failed your parents. Can I tell you what you do? Here's what you do. You repent. You get it right with God. You get up and you go on for God. God a little more, amen. 1 John 4:4 said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I say to you, there's no such thing in Christianity as I've fallen and I can't get up, amen. You can get up. And I say it again, like I said it before, as long as there's a God in heaven, you can continue to get up and go on for God. You ain't got to lay around, be a nobody all your life. You can do something for God, young person. The Bible said over there in Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Let me read that again. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. For a just man. Get that in your heart, a just man. And then the Bible said, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. It's easier for a saved man to get up than it is for a lost man. How do you expect to get up from a life of rebellion if you're lost? How do you expect to get up from a life of lust if you're lost? How do you expect to get up from a life of immorality if you're lost? How do you expect to get up from a life of wrong music and booze and drugs if you're lost? How do you expect to get up from a life of carnality if you're lost? How do you expect to get up from a life of disconcern for the things of God if you're lost? How do you expect to get up from a life of filthy talk and sex appeal in your dress styles if you're lost? How do you ever expect to get up from a life of sin if you're lost? Listen to me, young person. The Bible teaches us that you must be born again. And a just man is a saved man. A wicked man is a lost man. A just man falls 7 times. You might mess up a whole lot, but if you're saved, you can get back up. A just man falls 7 times, not a lost man. Now I want you to think, when did you get saved? Let's go a little bit, maybe something easier. Where did you get saved? Preacher, I can take you to the spot that I got saved. The very spot. It's in a little town called Owosso, Michigan. A little church called Delaney. The church was on Delaney Road.
Gilead Baptist Church. I was traveling down the road the other day, and me and my family made a wrong turn. And I told my wife, I said, I am on the wrong interstate. And it was in Michigan, and there's two interstates that run down through there, and there's a road that shoots all the way across from interstate to interstate called Highway 52. I told my wife, I said, no problem. I said, I know there's a highway ad up here called Highway 52 in St. John's. It'll skip all the way through and go to the other side, to the other interstate, Interstate 75 that we need to be on. I said, by the way, the Holy Ghost reminded me. I told her, I said, we're going to pass the church that I got saved in. I said, I'm stopping there and I'm going to show the kids where their daddy got saved. We pulled in there on Delaney Road. Pulled in there at the Gilead Baptist Church, and there wasn't, as far as we knew, there wasn't, the preacher wasn't there, and we pulled up there, walked up to the doors. The doors were locked. About that time, the preacher pulled up in the car. I think God was in on that. Preacher didn't know who I was. I said, preacher, my name's Jason Kendrick, evangelist. I said, I travel the country and hold tent revivals and preach all the country. I said, I got saved in this church years ago. I said, I want to show my kids where I got saved. He said, no problem, preacher. Opened the doors of the church. I walked right in there. I said, kids, follow me. We walked into the auditorium. I took them down to the front. It would be, they had just two sets of pews, one set here, one set over there. It would be this set on this side. I said, come here, kids. I said, here's the spot right here where your daddy got saved. Can you go to that place? Do you know you're saved? We can preach to you till we're blue in the face about living right and living clean and living holy and getting rid of sin and living a clean life and getting up and doing something for God, but you'll never do it until you get saved. You'll never do it, friend. And I say to you, the Bible said, a just man, we want you to get up. We want you to go on. But how in the world can you do it without salvation? How can you do it without God's help? No one has ever been able to get up on their own. There's a lot of young men and women that could do great things for God if they were truly saved and they realized that they were forgiven of all their failures, all their mess ups, all their sins. You listen to me, girls, you might have messed up on God. You might have done things that you wish to God you'd have never done. Fellas, you might have done some things that are wicked and vile and ungodly. Can I say to you, there is a God in heaven who's willing to forgive sin, who'll wash us clean of everything we've ever done, and it's all done through salvation. But you must be born again. It's much easier to get up and stay up when you're saved. Today you can hear great preaching, you can hear singing, you can shed tears. You can feel good about the service. You can have the great time in the games. You can make group decisions. You can have a great time in the house of the Lord. But if you leave here lost, there'll be no change in your life. You can't get up without God. You can't make it without God. You can't get up without it, and there's no way you can do it. You must be born again. There's adults and young people all over this world that have had emotional experiences and not a true salvation experience and are trying to get up from a life of failure and sin and heartache. I say to you, you cannot do it without help from the God of heaven. You listen to me, young person, trials may cause us to fall. Circumstances may cause us to fall. Heartache may cause us to fall. Sin may cause us to fall. But there is a God in heaven that's waiting for you. Amen. There's a God in heaven that's waiting to help you, and he'll help you. He's there, but you got to get up. You got to get up. And the Bible said, a just man, and the toughest thing on earth that you'll ever do is to get up after you've fallen and messed up on God. Number two, the toughest thing on earth is to fight on when you're hurting. Toughest thing on earth to get up after you've fallen. Number two, to fight on when you're hurting. On November 28, 1950, the Marines of F Company were defending the Toktan Pass near the frozen Chosin Reservoir in the North Korea. It was 30 degrees below zero. That night, Company F was attacked by over 4,000 red Chinese troops. Communist Chinese troops swept into the position in unmanageable waves. But 6-foot-tall, 215-pound Private Hector Caffaretta was in a foxhole when a hand grenade flew into it. Private Caffaretta picked it up and threw it back out. Then as the enemy troops swept in, he grabbed the shovel and killed two Chi Coms, picked up one of their submachine guns and emptied it on another group. Sounds like my kind of guy, hallelujah, attacking Chinese. Then he grabbed his N-14.
rain and standing in just his socks, he took aim and began to fire. He fired again and again until his weapon was empty. Then he would hand the weapon down to two wounded soldiers that were wounded there, and they would hand him another gun that was fully loaded. Caffaretta stood on the frozen ground all night and defended his position against overwhelming odds. At dawn, he was still firing, untouched by the enemy. Before him lay well over 150 dead Chinese communists. Ahead of him lay the Medal of Honor. Can I say to you, young people, we're talking about a man that was a hurting, fellas, but he kept on a fighting, amen. He just kept on a fighting. He was willing to fight no matter how bad he was hurting. And I say to you, where are the young people today? Where are the young men and the young women that are willing to fight for God and stay faithful to God no matter how hard it is and no matter how bad it hurts? Where are you at, young person? Who lied to you and told you it was going to be easy anyways? Who told you it was going to be easy to be a holy, separated, God-fearing, Bible-carrying, Christian-praying, sin-hating, sin-killing Christian? Whoever told you it was going to be easy, can I say to you tonight, so welcome to the fight, young person. You're in a fight. You're in a fight. The world may bruise you and beat on you, but keep on fighting. Your friends may tell you that you're a fool. They may laugh at you because you try to live a holy and separated, God-fearing life. But can I say to you, young person, just keep on fighting. Matthew 8:20 said, and Jesus saith unto them, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Can I say to you, our Lord was a man's man. Amen. We're talking about someone that slipped on the ground under the open sky. Listen to me, young people. This is not a nursery setting. Neither is it a playground. And it ain't a Sunday school picnic. It's a war. We ain't playing games. It ain't playtime now. It's wonderful to have a good time in this meeting. But when you leave out of them doors and you head back to your place, it's time to fight. It's a war. You're in a real war, young people, whether you want to be in it or not. Listen to me. It's an old-fashioned, sin-killing, fighting war that you're in. And you will get hurt. You will get pounded on. When they send a soldier out to war, that soldier expects to get hurt. He knows he could even die, preacher. And some of those friends of his that are sitting beside him on that plane when they're about to jump out is fixing to get killed. Some of them ain't gonna make it. But just because one of their friends don't make it don't mean they quit. They keep on fighting. Just because they get shot in the arm don't mean they quit. They keep on fighting. Just because something happens to them, they just keep on fighting. You know why? Can I say to you, because the toughest thing you can do is to fight on when you're hurting. Look, young people, listen to me. Young people want to be accepted. They don't want to fight. And I say to you, look up in here, listen to me. You can look at many young people today and tell that they're not trained to fight, nor do they have a desire to fight. They like the fashions of the world. They want to look like the world. They want to hang around with the crowd. They want to be accepted by everybody else. You listen to me. These guys, listen to me. This kind of crowd, they got their little necklaces, they got their little bracelets, and they got their little teased hairdos, amen. I remember when the girls used to foof their hair up in the front. Now we got a bunch of sissy guys doing the same thing that the women were doing, amen. And I say to you, they got all the little tight things and their tight t-shirt and their hip hugger faded blue jeans and their little girly square glasses. Where are the men? Where are the young men that's willing to fight? The girls. Where are the young women that say, God, give me a man that wants to serve God? We got girls that want to sit on powder puffs. They want the fancy cars. They want some man to give them a big fancy house. They want money in their purse. They want all the fancy shoes and all the fancy purses. They want all the things, the nails done and the earrings and all the hairdos, and they want all the fancy frills. Whatever happened to a woman that says, God, just give me a man that wants to serve God. I don't care if I don't have much. I may not have a big fancy house. I may not have all the things that other women have. I may not get to do all the fancy things. But as long as I can serve my God and I can have children for Christ, and I can raise them for the Lord, and I can help a man fight in the battle, and I can help a man serve God, that's what I want to do. Where are they at? We got young people dropping out left and right every time they get their feelings hurt. Something don't go their way, they get mad, they want to quit on God. And I say to you, reason is, it's because they're not raised to fight. You hear me? They're not raised to fight. Christianity is not for sissies. Christianity is for warriors. The bull rider don't quit because he got his head busted. The hockey player don't quit because his teeth got knocked out. The football player don't quit because his leg got cut open. The preacher don't quit because the people don't like him. The Christians don't quit soul winning because the world spit in their face. The young person doesn't quit because a Christian, because peers laugh at him. Young people, you don't quit because your peers don't want anything to do with you. Young person, you don't quit because sin wounded you. Welcome to Christianity. You fight on when you're hurting. During the Battle of Korea, a Marine lieutenant came running up to another lieutenant by the name of Leonard Clements and yelled. He said, "Give me a squad. I got to get those Chinamen out of my right flank." And Clement released the squad, and then a bullet slammed right through the center of his helmet. He dropped like a rock, painted the snow with his blood. The men gazed in shock at how instantly he had been killed. But then all of a sudden, to their amazement, he moved. Then he got back up. The bullet had entered his helmet at an angle and spun around his head inside his helmet, leaving him with a wound on the right side of his head. Soon, very soon, he was back to commanding his men and continued to fight on. And I say to a young person, you fight on when you're hurting them. You don't quit because you got hurt. You don't quit because your feelings got hurt. You don't quit because you didn't go your way. Listen to me, it didn't go David's way either. David thought it was going to be a lot different, but it didn't go his way, but he kept on fighting. God did say you're in a fight and you're a soldier. I may preach on that more this week, tomorrow, but did you expect no injuries? Did you expect to fight without getting hurt? Did you think the devil would sit back and let you serve God without a fight? Or maybe it's this. Maybe you're not fighting at all. Maybe you're not doing nothing for God. Maybe you just got everybody thinking you're doing something. "Well, I come to church, Brother Jason. I'm faithful to church and Sunday school, and I'm here at the meeting." Wonderful. That's all you do. You little fashion sweetheart. You little preppy. Fellas, can I say something to you? If I had it to do over again, oh, I wish I had it to do over again. If I had to do it over again, I wouldn't give a rip what a girl thought. I'd tell them to hit the road in a heartbeat. And I'd serve God. Until God gave me the one that he wanted me to have. And then I'd get a hold of that girl and I'd run for God with her as hard as I could run. Some of you are playing games. You know why? Look up in here. You're afraid. You're scared to fight. You're scared to stand. You got wounded somewhere in the battle, and now you don't want to stand up and fight no more. But you're tough, right? Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. You're tough. I ain't afraid of him. You're tough. I'd love to walk into the meanest factory in America and a bunch of bikers, praise God, long-haired, dope-smoking drunks. "You think you're tough?" "Yeah, I'm tough." I'd like to get a mess of them. I'd say, "I got my tracks, I got my Bible. Let's go pass out some tracks and see how tough you are." They're so tough, but yet they're scared to stand for God. What are you afraid of? Why are you afraid to be a leader for Christ? Why are you afraid to stand for God? Let me say something to you, teenagers. Listen to me, young people. I don't know. Let's just say you're 17 years old. You're 17 years old,
In 5 years, the young people that you hang out with, you probably won't even know where they are. And you're letting them decide for you what you're going to do for God? The toughest thing you can ever do is to stand up, you get up after you've fallen. And I say the toughest thing you can do is to fight on when you're hurting. Number three, to stay focused when you're struggling. Stay focused when you're struggling. Focus means a central point or the point of concentration. In other words, what are your thoughts on? What is the center of attention in your life today? What is your central point or point of concentration? In other words, young people, listen to me. Does sin and filth of this world, does it have your attention? Does all the desires and the fleshly allurements of the world and all the sins of the world, is that what is you're focused on? Is that what your attention's on? Does ungodly lust and internet and chat rooms have your attention? Where are you headed, young person, and what are you focused on? The toughest thing is to stay focused, no doubt, when you're struggling, because you will struggle. You will go through hard times. You will have difficulties. But above all, your life and your focal point should be narrowly on the things of God, with the world and all of its thrills and opportunity of sin way behind you. With your mind on God, which direction you're running. Above all, no matter how hard you're struggling, no matter what you're going through, the toughest thing is to stay focused when you're struggling, young people. The very opposite is what's taking place in many teenagers' lives today. Instead of keeping their eyes on the things of God and running from the sins of the world, they have centered their life around the sins of this world with all of its temptation, because it seems to be an easier road without the struggle. Most people don't like struggle. Most people don't like it when it's hard. Don't miss this. Many young people are traveling the easy route, but many times the easy route is the sinful route, because nobody's going against them until the payday comes. When payday comes, it's not easy. Struggle means to fight or to overcome difficulties, to overcome problems or resist. Where are the young people today that is willing to go against the mainstream of wickedness and struggle against all those that are going the opposite direction? Where you at? Are you willing to go on by yourself? Give me all the guys out of this section, stand in the aisle. Right here. Guys, do me a favor. Just help me out here. I want to show you something. Just think about this little illustration here to help you think. You ain't got to be in line. Just kind of, all right, give me some more guys in this section right here to stand out here in this aisle. I want you all to stand out here in the aisle, all right? Just get over here in the aisle. Young person, here it is. I'm a teenage Christian. I'm a teenage boy. I'm a Christian, and I want to do what's right. That's the world. Fellas, you come this way. Oh, I know I'm by myself, but that's all right. You guys don't want to go with me, huh? I'm going with God. Are y'all going to hell? I'm going to God. I'm struggling, but I'm going by myself. Thank you, guys. You can sit down. Very simple thought. Turn me up, fella. Very simple. Why are you going with them? Why are you going the direction everybody else is going? Why don't you stay focused on God and go with God? It's not easy to go when you're struggling, is it? It's not easy to stay focused whenever your parents aren't serving God. It's not easy to stay focused whenever your brothers or your sisters not serving God, is it? It's not easy to stay focused whenever your parents get a divorce and you're forced into a family relationship that you don't even want to be in. You understand what I mean? Mama gets married to some other man, but you're stuck there. Or vice versa. It's not easy to stay focused when it seems like you're the only young person that wants to do right and nobody else wants to. The toughest thing on earth is to stay focused when you're struggling. You're going to have difficulties, fellas. You're going to have a hard time. Girls, it ain't going to be easy to be that clean, separated, holy virgin for God. Toughest thing on earth is to stay focused when you're struggling. What are you focused on? I'm focused on the cross. I'm keeping my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Satan wants you to stay focused on the world, on wealth, woeful temptations, wickedness. God wants you to stay focused on the cross, on the Christian life, on the center of God's will, on the call of God on your life. What are you focused on? I could give you story, probably after story, of people I've known. Your preacher no doubt could give you story after story of the people that he has known, that whenever they went through the difficult time, preacher, whenever they were struggling, they got away from God. I know a young man that got saved. This young man had a lot of friends. This young man made a decision that he was going to do what God wanted him to do and not worry about what his lost buddies and girls wanted him to do. This young man went to church faithfully like he should do. The friends began to fall away. He had a fiance that he was supposed to get married to, and he took her to church with him, and she told him he was saved, but he really didn't know for sure. This young man continued to stay faithful to God, began to get in the bus route, began to go to Sunday school faithfully, went to work days and went to church and just did everything that you were supposed to do as a young man after you're saved. It wasn't long and God spoke to his heart about preaching. He did not fight God, preacher. He surrendered to the will of God. He talked to that girl that was his fiance about it. And of course, she would say, oh, that's wonderful. That's great. And he asked her what she thought about it. And she thought it would be good. And he asked her if she could be a preacher's wife. She's like, sure, I could be a preacher's wife. And so he pursued it. And he felt like God wanted him to go to a Christian college. And this girl, of course, was not going to be able to go because she was still in high school. And so he decided to go anyways. Now his friends are all gone. He's fixing to leave his family. He's fixing to leave the girl that he believed that God, or he thought that he was supposed to marry. Not God wanted to, but he thought he was supposed to marry. It was the same girl that he was dating before he got saved, who he was engaged to before he got saved. And so he made the decision to go. He went to Bible college. He left for Bible college. It was not long. And God began to deal with his heart about that girl that he was supposed to marry. And it bothered him. And it was on his mind all the time. And the Lord showed him plainly that she was not the girl for him. And he was the man he should be. Called her up and broke it off. We're talking about a man, friend, that went through hardship and difficulties and struggles. And man, his friends are gone now. He's away from his family. He's 900 miles away from his family. Now he's broken off with the girl that he thought was supposed to be his wife. He's at college. He's by himself. He's having a difficult time. He's struggling, but he's staying focused. Finishes college, but before he finishes college, God allows him to meet a wonderful girl. He marries that girl, and they serve God together to this day. and stayed focused, you're looking at the man. Toughest thing on earth you can do. Get up when you're falling. Fight on when you're hurting. And stay focused when you're struggling. Every head bowed and every eye closed, sis, if you'd come to the piano. Father in heaven, we sure love you and praise you. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit of God and his help tonight. God, I want to deal with teenagers that could be here tonight that's lost first, Lord. No one looking around. Young people, listen to me, please. No one looking around. There's no doubt in my heart some of you are sitting here lost. And can I say this to you again? You'll never change. You'll never change until you get saved. You cannot get up until you get saved. I want you right now to go to that place in your heart and your mind where you received Christ as your Savior. To the best of your ability, in your mind, go to the place where you got saved. Remember what took place. You say, well, my mama told me I got saved. I wouldn't be listening to mama. I'd be listening to God. Well, daddy told me I was okay. You don't listen to daddy when it comes to salvation about if you're saved or not. You listen to God. I want you to go to that place in your heart and your mind. Think about that place right now. Just take a moment and think about the place that you got saved. I want you to visually in your mind the best that you can. I want you to try to think about the spot that you got saved at. It could be beside your bed. It could be in a car somewhere. It could be on a sidewalk, or maybe a porch, or maybe it's at an altar at a church, or maybe it's in a youth room somewhere in a church, or maybe even on a bus, or maybe it was at another church somewhere. But I want you to think about that place, that spot. I want you to get it in your heart and your mind tonight, and I want you to refresh it over and over again, and I want you to think about it. Some of you don't have a place. Some of you don't have a spot. Some of you are not sure if you're saved or not. Any young people in here tonight that would be honest, be willing to slip their hand up? I'm not going to come to you, but would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Could I see your hand? No one looking around, please. God bless you, son. God bless you, girl. I see your hand, young lady. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm really not sure that I'm saved. Don't be ashamed of it. Raise your hand. I see your hand, young lady. God bless you. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm really not sure that I'm saved. Come on. How many can say, I know I'm saved. I remember that spot. I remember the place. Can I see your hand? Put them up and leave them up. Put them up and leave them up. Don't be ashamed, fellas. Don't be ashamed. You little chicken. You probably aren't saved if you're ashamed. Put them up high if you're saved and you know it. Thank you. You can put them down. Some of you couldn't raise your hand. No one's looking around. Sis, can you play softly? I'd like for some lady workers to come to the front and some men workers to come to the front. No one looking around. Just a few of you for right now. Young people, you raised your hand that you said you're not saved. Would you please step out right now and let one of these take a Bible? Would you come, please? No one's looking. Would you just get up right now and come? Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, I pray for your help. Satan, I rebuke thee in the name of Jesus Christ and command you to loose them. You have no authority in their life now. I plead the blood of Jesus. And Father, I pray for strength. Holy Ghost, I pray for power. I pray that God, you would defeat Satan in their life and that, Lord Jesus, you'd give them strength to come. God, please, I pray. God, speak in your heart. Would you come? We've had a couple come. There's more than that. Young lady, you raised your hand. Do you want to get saved? All you got to do is stand up. One of them ladies will take you. Son, what about it? You raised your hand. Where are you at? Were you going to come or not? Toughest thing on earth. To get up when you've fallen, young person. To fight on when you're hurting. To stay focused when you're struggling. Young people, in just a few seconds, I'm going to ask you to stand. She's playing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I made that decision a long time ago. By the grace of God, I'm still going. I want to ask you to stand, and if God has spoke to your heart, would you come to this old-fashioned altar? Teenagers, would you come? Young men, would you come? Where you at? Let's fill up this platform if you need to. Come up on the platform if you would, fellas. Just come on up here on the platform. Let other people come so there's room at the altar. Just move on up. Move on up if you would. Move on up. Where are the young men that say, preacher, I'm getting up again. I'm going for God.